But we were the better team. We were the better team. You know, we weren't leaving here without that trophy. You know, we got it done.
It's a hard-fought game out there today. Very disappointing to lose a game like that.
What a fight. That has to be one of the greatest games of all time. Just absolutely incredible.
Watson. Touchdown! Hunter Renfrow. Little man makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Spent the majority of the show today talking about college football, and sadly enough, the season came to a close last night, but it did come to a close in style. We had Clemson on a two-minute drive take the ball all the way down the field, and Deshaun Watson, the hero, very similar to what happened to Vince Young. Here's a guy that felt he was slighted for the Heisman. He puts together a championship run at the end of the game, and it, well, turns out that Dabo Swinney finally has a national championship to his resume. Joining us right now to talk some particulars about last night's game and about the entire season in general, we have our great friend Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He is the host of First Sports, and we'll talk more about that show in just a bit. First off, Steve, great to hear from you today. Thank you.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. We love having you on the show, that is for sure. I want to start by talking about this game last night. I mean, obviously, everybody has an opinion on it. Clemson, a squad that I thought struggled throughout the majority of the season. There were several close calls, several games that maybe they shouldn't have even have won. One that stands out to me is NC State. But the thing about Dabo Swinney is his teams find a way to win. They go 14-1. They knock off an Alabama team that had one of the greatest college football defenses that we have seen in decades. And they did it, Steve, with a two-minute drill and scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter. Your take on last night's game?
I think a lot of discussion that I've encountered throughout the morning and afternoon today has been pointing out someone to blame. And I think we do that a lot, especially when a juggernaut loses, whether it's, you know, Golden State losing in the NBA Finals, whether it's, you know, Alabama losing last night. Everyone wants to find out why this happened. I think the number to point out is 99. That's the number to me. That's the number of plays offensively that Clemson ran last night. It took 99 plays for Clemson to beat Alabama with 1 second left on the clock in arguably one of the greatest college football championship games we've seen since the BCS era began. I think that's what the story is for me. It was Deshaun Watson having to really overcome a shaky first quarter to be able to find receivers, to get that extra split second in the pocket. I think it took a concerted effort to wear down this Alabama defense, which had been so highly regarded all season long, and it took 99 plays to do it. It also took a key injury to Bo Scarborough. We found out earlier this morning Bo Scarborough has a fractured leg. He'll be out, obviously, for the most of the duration of the offseason, but he is expected to return in full health next season. It took overcoming a freshman quarterback who, at times, looked like a very freshman quarterback. I don't like the idea that a lot of people are piling on Steve Sarkisian. I don't think the Steve Sarkisian factor was that big of an issue. In fact, I think they would have gotten beaten worse if Lane Kiffin had stayed in charge. Lane Kiffin was very much a pass-oriented offensive coordinator. Steve Sarkisian, I thought, was more devoted to the run. I thought he found a number of other players in the game. I think O.J. Howard was more involved in the offense than he had been in most recent games for Alabama. But I think the number, again, is 99. It took 99 plays for Clemson to beat Alabama with the last second on the clock.
Well, and I'm glad you point that out, because two individuals that haven't gotten a whole lot of pull is Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott, the co-offensive coordinators for Clemson, and you mentioned 99 plays. It's very similar to boxing. It may not be exciting when you go to the body once or twice, you know, consecutively in the first or second round, but look, those start to add up as you go throughout the fight. It's the same thing with Clemson. There were a couple of play calls last night that I think maybe the casual fan would have said, why? Why is Deshaun Watson running the ball up the middle on 2nd and 10? Why do you run a quarterback draw on 3rd down and 7? This whole idea of running the football and making sure that your play count is at a certain percent was calculated, and you can't convince me otherwise.
No, and that's, again, it's not exciting to a lot of people because we've been raised on this idea that everything has to be a big play and everything has to be a highlight reel. And it's a process. There's a process to winning a football game, especially at this level. There's a process that you go through, and it's tedious sometimes, and it takes a while. And Alabama's one of those teams that likes to run that instant gratification offense, and that works from time to time. It works when you're playing schools like Vanderbilt and playing bad schools. I'm not suggesting that the SEC is a bad conference. I'm not getting into that argument at all. What I'm saying is that it's a process, and Dabo Swinney and his team and his coaching staff were dedicated to this particular process. It wasn't pretty in the first quarter, but once Deshaun Watson was able to get some time in the pocket, the ability to find open receivers, and slowly and meticulously wearing down that defense, that was the difference. Now, if you want to blame Sarkisian, if you want to attack the offense, you can certainly do that, especially in the fourth quarter, late in the ball game, when you had an opportunity with the lead to slow the game down. You had an opportunity to do that, and instead you ran a three and out, and you threw two pass plays there, which made no sense to me, because then you're putting your defense in a very dangerous predicament late in the fourth quarter with an offense that clearly now has your number. So I think if you want to point a finger, that's a point. That's a finger you can clearly point. But to suggest that the entire play calling of Alabama's was wrong, or was misjudged, I think is wrong. I think it was more a case of you put a freshman quarterback out there in a situation where from time to time he looked very much like a freshman quarterback.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bordstein, host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, two things that stand out to me throughout this college football season, and again, I believe it's the greatest sport in the world. I love college football. I love that we get to be a part of college football here on KOAL with the Utah Utes and the Pac-12. Through all the football that I watched this year, and trust me, it was a lot, two things stand out to me. I have no idea what a target is, and I have no idea what a pick is. And if you're an Alabama fan today, yes, you're talking about Hunter Renfrow and the game-winning touchdown pass from Deshaun Watson, which was an obvious pick in which the officials chose not to throw their flag. With that being said, in the first half, there were multiple targeting incidents, at least to my understanding of the rule and what I have seen throughout the year, that Alabama got away with. Once on stud wideout Mike Williams, who had a brilliant game, and the other on Deshaun Watson on the first drive of the game, in which a lot of people had thought maybe Alabama would try to take Deshaun Watson out of the contest. Yet there was no flag for targeting. There was an unsportsmanlike conduct, but no flag for targeting. And again, we go back to it, no flag for a pick at the end of the game when Watson hooked up with Renfrow. Your thoughts?
This goes to a much larger conversation about officiating crews in bowl games for college and playoff games in the National Football League. I need consistency, and there is no consistency in what, shockingly, you need the most consistency in, which is in your highest profile games. I have no problem with the old standard of we have an outside conference representing the officiating crew in bowl games. I understand that. I get that. I don't know if that's the same crew, though, and it's not. It's not the same Big 12 crew that is in every Big 12 of the same game. It's, in other words, it's Big 12 officials, but not the same Big 12 crew that works together for 12 consecutive games. It's a patchwork group of assemblage of Big 12 officials, much the same you see in the National Football League during the playoffs. They have what are called all-star crews. They get grades for their efforts throughout the season, but they're part of a team during the regular season. Playoffs come along and they break those teams up for some inexplicable reason. That seems to be the norm. It's also the case in college football. And if that's the case, then I don't know the cadence of the side judge, who's now new to me. I don't know the cadence of the replay official in the booth, who now is new to me. I don't know the cadence of the back judge. I don't know the cadence of the umpire, because they're all new to me. Whereas the people that I've worked with for 12 consecutive weeks, I know they're cadence. I know what their version of a pick is every week because it's their version of a pick. And I would also argue that if you're going to have a conference of officials, I'd like to have that conference have some knowledge of maybe some of the types of offenses and defenses that these individual universities run. Imagine if you will, imagine if you had a conference that doesn't run a pro-style offense in it at all, and you put in an officiating crew that has only run pro-style, that only judges and officiates pro-style games. They don't know what the hell they're looking at because they've never seen that kind of offense before. Everything is completely foreign to them. Everything looks different to them. There has to be some consistency here, and it's a topic that's not brought up enough. It's a topic that never gets brought up because we don't like talking about officials because it's confusing to us, and because they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Yes, they do. When they work together, and here in the most important games of the year, be it in college football bowl games or in the NFL playoffs, we break these crews up, and it's wrong, and it needs to change.
Yes or no? Was that a pick on the final play?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was.
It was a pick, but they didn't call earlier one. So it's a funny argument because here's where I have the dilemma. I don't mind inconsistency so long as you're, wait for it, consistently inconsistent. In other words, if it wasn't a pick in the first quarter, it can't be a pick in the fourth quarter.
I agree.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
No, I agree
with
you.
If it wasn't a pick in the third quarter, then it can't be a pick in the fourth quarter. If it wasn't a targeting in the first quarter, it can't be a targeting in the fourth quarter. But the problem I have is that I don't know that going in, and I don't know that the person working across the field from me, who hasn't worked with me before, isn't going to see something different than the guy who's worked across from me for 11 weeks is going to see it differently. Yeah. I don't know that.
I agree 100%. Before I let you go, Steve, the final AP Top 25 was released. We'll go over the top 10 again. Clemson, Alabama, USC, Washington, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Penn State, Florida State, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Dabo Swinney says at the end of the game last night, the ACC is the best conference in college football. Fair argument. They had the national champion, they had the Heisman Trophy winner, and they had Florida State, who I think is a little underranked in the final top 10, a team that I wasn't necessarily high on, but the fact is they're 10-3, and they beat Michigan, who a lot of people had in the college football playoff, and the committee had, for the majority of the release in the rankings. In your take, who was the best conference throughout the entire year? Was it the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, maybe even the Pac-12? I mean, they have two teams in the top four as we take a look at the final rankings.
I agree with you. I think it's the ACC, for all the reasons you mentioned. They have the Heisman Trophy winner, they got Florida State, and they got the national champion. And results matter. Okay, that's a fact. Results matter. Florida State has a bowl victory. Clemson has the national championship. You've got the Heisman Trophy. I have no problem with that. And at the end of the day, polls are good for, you know, chest pounding, and they're good for rabble rousing, and they're great off season fodder, and that's fantastic. I'm very happy that the Pac-12 is finally again well represented in the AP poll. Again, chest pounding. I'm an SC guy, so I'm very happy with our position at number three. I think that the Pac-12 conference is probably number two. We have the most dramatic Rose Bowl victory in years. We've got Washington coming off a fantastic season, in which they've got, you know, obviously they've got a very, very talented football program there. And our freshman quarterback, i.e. USC, played better than the other freshman quarterback who played the national championship game. So I'm pretty good with number three. I'll take that all day long. And as far as the Big Ten, I would say they're the third best conference, which is shocking because we haven't mentioned the SEC at all, and they were again one second away from having the national championship.
Yeah, we're not mentioning the SEC though, because the next highest ranked SEC squad would be LSU at 13, and you and I both know there are several holes in that team. Same with Florida, who would come in at 14. The SEC has had that tag of being the most dominant college football conference over the past decade, the past 11 years. Steve, we're finally starting to see through that, and I think the parity is starting to run through the Power 5 conferences.
I agree completely, and it couldn't happen at a better time. You know, with the return of some big name programs, I think with the return of Penn State to prominence and what they were able to accomplish this season, hopefully, again, I know you and I talked about this earlier, you know, hopefully Notre Dame starts to turn things around themselves a little bit, but I think we're seeing some of these programs, even Oklahoma, starting to come back around a little bit right now. Some of these more traditional, you know, power schools from years past are starting to get their programs in there. their house back in order again now, which is going to put a big kink in the SEC's dominance that they've had over the last near decade now. So I think it's I think as a college football fan and as someone who you mentioned a moment ago, it loves college football. It's your favorite thing. I think the future of college football is extremely bright as we head towards National Signing Day next month.
Steve, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
First, Sports in the Morning airs on the iHeartRadio app. You can catch it every day on our website at foxsports1340.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox1340AM. I host First Sports, like I said, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon. It's a national, regional show. We cover a variety of different college and pro sports from around the country. We also I also do a horse racing show on weekends called The Fast Track. That airs 10 a.m. Eastern. You'd think I'd know that by now. 10 a.m. Eastern, also on the iHeartRadio app, and you can catch all of that at our website at foxsports1340.com. First Sports, great show. Jordan is a frequent guest on the program. We talk, like I said, a variety of national and regional sports. We are a Denver Broncos affiliate, so obviously keeping a very watchful eye on this weekend's NFL playoffs. So good stuff every weekday morning, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. I enjoy the conversation. Thank you again for the time, and we'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend.
We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.